2 Timothy 2, verse 1 through 2. That's 995 in your pew Bible. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 through 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many will entrust, of many witnesses will entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
Good morning, church. I bring you greetings once again from God's people, the church located in the country of Guatemala, the city of Linda Vista. They send their greetings to you. I also bring greetings from the congregation in Coban, and that's where Davin and Lili, that's where they work, and they send their greetings to you as well. It's a privilege to be, I guess for lack of a better word, to be linked up with brethren like you, who are brothers and sisters of like faith and who have a love for the Lord and have a love for the work that the Lord has allowed us to do there in the country of Guatemala. And we appreciate so much your coming to visit with us. Several of you have already been, and Lord willing, 2018, some of you will be coming once again to visit with us, and we appreciate so much, again, your love for the work there in Guatemala. The question always comes up, and it's not, what are you going to preach on? It's not, what text will you use? It's never that. It's always, how long are you going to preach this morning? And I've been asked that already. And this morning at the breakfast table, I appreciate so much people hosting me. And this morning, while we were at the breakfast table, I told Sherry, she asked as far as, would you like something else to eat? And I told her, the more I eat, the longer I preach. And she told Jim, clear the table. And so she learned very quickly not to feed me too much, but I appreciate so much them allowing me to stay there. But people, I've heard so many times, I've been asked so many times, how long do you preach? And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm what you call a long-winded preacher, and I'll just tell you that up front, okay? And it's not that I have a lot to say, it just takes me a long time to say it. Okay, and then somebody said, you know, how long are you going to preach? And I often heard people say, well, you know, Paul preached what? Paul preached unto what? You don't want to say it, but go and say it. He preached unto midnight. And that was the answer I gave at a youth rally one time. I was preaching that. I told them, I said, well, Paul preached unto midnight. That's how long. And then one teenager told me, said, well, listen, Brother High, said, if I was you, I wouldn't try to be Paul around here. That you might end up being Stephen. And I thought about that one pretty quickly. Brother Keeble was once asked, and they asked him the question, said, Brother Keeble said, why do you tell a joke before you preach? Why do you tell a joke to the congregation all the time, most of the time, at least before you preach? And Brother Keeble said, well, said, because I look at the people like they're kind of like frozen fish. Yes, if they like frozen fish, and he said, you know what, said you have to thaw them out before you can fry them. You know, so that's, you've had your joke already, so now we're ready to move on this morning. Have you listened to the news this morning? Have you heard any of the news this morning? Let me just sum it up in one sentence. Are you ready for it? Our nation is in trouble. Our nation is in trouble. It wasn't long ago that we could ask the question, and the question would be, Did you hear about the school shooting? And then someone would say from that, which one? And then we got to where we hear about, we've got policemen killing people, citizens. We've got citizens killing policemen. And then somebody wants to convince us that it's an issue of black and it's an issue of white. Church, that's not the problem. That's not the problem. We've got a heart problem, is what we have. It's not that I'm black. It's not that you're white. Our nation is in trouble. Now we're concerned about whether or not we're going to be going to war. Our nation's in trouble, church. Now somebody said, now, Brother High, you get up there and you were smiling when you first got up there. Can't you say something a little bit more positive? Can't you be a positive preacher? Okay, let me start all over again. I am positive our nation's in trouble this morning. And we have looked and we're looking everywhere for answers. Only to find out that a lot of times what we put our faith in, what we put our trust in, what we know will be the answer to the problem, it turns out not to be. Church, we're living in a world right now. We're living not just a world, but we're living in a nation right now where everybody's doing what? Everybody's doing what's right, what? Everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes. We're legalizing things. Our Constitution defends things. We're in trouble. The text says, as a man thinks in his, what's the text say, church? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The old saying goes like this, you're not always what you think you are, but you're always what you think. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Our nation's in trouble, church. The Matthew writer said it like this. He said, they honor me with their lips. But he said what? Their heart is far. We're living in a nation right now that needs surgery. Needs surgery. And let me just tell you up front, sitting in front of me right now is a bunch of surgeons. And a lot of times we are sitting as surgeons with our tools to our sides, and we're not using it. And our nation's in trouble. We're, you know, politicians. They're supposed to solve our nation's problems. You know, We knew a long time ago that there was one candidate that wouldn't solve them, right? I think we're about to find out this one may not. Because God has never, listen to me, God has never left it in the hands of politicians to do for our nation what he's left in the hands of the church. Our nation's in trouble, church. There's a heart problem. Our nation needs surgery. And there's a lot of surgeons in our nation that's not performing the surgery. Well, let's leave it up to education. Let's get education. Let's educate our children. Let's educate everybody. Let's not leave nobody behind. Let's get everybody as smart as we can get them. And then where are we on Sunday, August the what? What's today? The 20th. Where are we on Sunday, August the 20th, 2017? We're still in trouble. Church, we got more education than we've ever had. We've got people, we go back to Washington, D.C. We've got people there with more degrees than a thermometer, and we're still in trouble. Because we hear quoted so many times, my people die because of the lack of knowledge. So we should be the strongest nation on this earth with all the knowledge that we have. But church, it's not the right kind of knowledge. Our nation's in trouble. Our nation needs surgery. Politicians are not going to do it. I don't care Democrats. I don't care Republicans. I don't care. You know, they're not going to do it. Education is not going to do it, church. We've got a heart problem. And when you have a heart problem, sometimes surgery is needed. There's one hope for our nation. There's one hope. And that hope is bringing people back to the Word of God. We've tried everything else. We're doing everything. People are doing what's right in their own eyes. People have lots of knowledge, but not the knowledge that's needed to make. And listen to this. Have you heard this slogan lately? Let's make our nation what? Let's make our nation what? Come on now. You can say it with me, okay? If you don't say it, you just make me preach longer, okay, and watch you yell at this time. Let's make our nation what? Great. You know, if we're going to make our nation great again, what is the tool? What is it going to take to make our nation great again? Church, I'm going to tell you what I believe, and we have never been, quote, a Christian nation. We've never been that. Okay? We have been a nation that's had Christian principles. And you know why? Because it has been a nation that's been filled with what? Christians. Christians who have taken a stand. Christians who realize what it really takes to make a nation great. Christians who realize the true meaning of one nation under God. Christians who really, truly realize what it means when you say, in God, what? We trust. Our nation's in trouble. You know, you would think from 2 Timothy, you would think Paul, as he writes in the latter part of his life, as he writes to Timothy, you would think he's talking about us as a nation. You would think sometimes he's talking about us as a church. When you go to 2 Timothy, and we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, you skip down to verse 13, and you read, But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Does that sound familiar to you? You would think he's talking about our nation moving from bad to worse. Then you skip over to chapter 4 and you go down to verse 3. You would think he might be talking about the church, where he says, for the time will come, verse 3, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Sound familiar to you? And even not just talking about outside of the church, but even within the church, we've got problems. People are trying to decide, well, you know what? I tell you what we'll do now. Can we have the instrument in the church? Let's vote on it. How many of you think we should have the piano? Well, some say yes, some say no. Well, we got 53% that said yes, so let's bring it in. Hey, how about do we partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week? Well, I tell you what we'll do. Brother Blaine, let's just vote on it, okay? You think we should, somebody think we shouldn't, so let's have a vote on it, okay? We got 47% that say we should, 53% that say we shouldn't, so we won't do it. How about women preaching? And then somebody says, well, you know what? I think we got some women that can preach just as good as some of those men can preach. I'll tell you what we'll do. Why don't we vote on it, okay? Why don't we vote on it and what we'll decide, here's what we come up with. We come up with, you know, 53% say no, 47% says yes. And the 53% says no because they think she'll preach longer than we do. So they don't preach. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. The bad news is we're in trouble. The good news is there's a solution to our problem. Church, and without even beating around the bush, the solution has been, is now, and will always be God's Word. What does God have to say about it? When we start talking about legalizing this and we start talking about legalizing that, when we start talking about what we can do in the church and what we can't do in the church, when we start talking about what's right and we start talking about what's wrong, what does God have to say about it? As Paul writes here to Timothy, I think Paul impresses upon Timothy and hopefully impresses upon us the importance of God's Word. The importance of what we do with the Word. The importance of how we handle the Word. The importance of how does the Word affect those around us. The importance of how does the Word affect us. The importance of how does the Word affect me. Church, I've got bad news. Our nation's in trouble. It's got a heart problem. But I've got good news. We've got the answer. How many of you still believe in the Word of God? This is yes, no, don't know, don't care. How many of you still believe in the Word of God? How many of you got your Bibles with you today? Raise your Bibles up. Telephone, whatever it is, raise it up. How many of you still believe in the Word of God today? It's the only hope for our nation. It speaks things clearly. It lets us see things as God sees things. It tells us what God will allow, what God will not allow. It tells us what we can do, what we can't do. It tells us how we will make it to heaven. It tells us what will keep us from heaven. It's everything we need. And it's what's missing today. Timothy had a lot to learn. And as Paul shares here in chapter 3, the close of chapter 3, as Paul shares in chapter 4, before he gives the, I'm ready to be poured out, I'm ready to die, Timothy, here's what I have to say about you. And just a couple of things I want us to see from this text. One of them is, Paul starts off in verse 10. Paul says to Timothy, and you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecution, and sufferings, such as happened to me. Then he lists the place where they happened, and then the Lord delivered me from them. But he starts off by telling Timothy here, you followed me. You followed my teachings. He's showing Timothy here the importance of living the Word. If we back up to 1 Timothy, you remember in 1 Timothy chapter 12? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. You remember what he told Timothy there? He says, Timothy, I don't care what happens, you be what? You be an example. You live it. We back up to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, the Bible tells us there, you are the light of the world, so let your light so shine before men. We've got a mission. And Paul compliments Timothy. You lived the Word. Now, as you think about this past week, have you lived the Word? If somebody watched a video of my life this last week, Somebody watched a video of your life this past week. Have you lived the Word? All of us know by heart Psalm chapter 119, verse 105, where it says, "Thy word is what? A lamp unto my feet, and what? A light unto my path." We know that by heart. But many do not know verse 106. Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119, 105. Brother Blaine, if you would, read for me verse 106. What does the text say? Back up again to 105. What does it say? Your word is a what? A lamp. Keep reading. A light unto my path. And what does he say? Verse 106. One more time. It's a light, it's a lamp, but you've got to do something with a light and a lamp. You can't just run around, I can't just run around yelling, it's a light, it's a lamp. Many times we quote 105, but we never hear 106. And he says in 106, "I have sworn and I will confirm it that I will keep thy righteous ordinances." Our nation's in trouble. The only hope is the word. And part of that hope is people like you, people like me, living the word. I don't know how many times you hear things like, "I'm not coming to that church because it's full of what?" What's the word, church? Hypocrites. And I believe a lot of times that's just an excuse. But at the same time, are we giving them that excuse? Paul says, "Timothy, you've followed me. You've lived the word. I want to be complimented for living the word." But then Paul goes on here in the same text, and he says in verse 12, something else for us to realize. He says, "And indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Raise your hand if you like persecution. How many of you like it? I didn't get into this. I remember when I went into the military, it wasn't but a couple hours that I realized I didn't get into this for this. Yeah. I got into the military to travel. Yeah. I got into the military to see the world. I mean, the government is going to pay me to see the world, eat high and on a hog, and travel all around Europe. That's why I got in the military. And the first morning when I wake up and some man is standing over my bed hollering at me, I didn't get into this for this. I'm going home. Christianity is about suffering. If you're going to stand up for the word, you're going to suffer. You're going to be called names. You're going to be ridiculed. You might be treated like the word. You might be treated like Jesus Christ himself. Jesus said in Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Blessed are you when men persecute you for my sake. Our church, our nation's in trouble, church. The only help, the only hope is the word. And if I'm going to live it, if you're going to live it, we're going to suffer. We're going to look like that we're people that are intolerant. Have you heard that great word lately? How many intolerant people do we have in this audience this morning? You're not tolerant anymore. You won't accept this. You won't accept that. No. What does God accept? What does God's word have to say? Well, you know what I'm going to tell you? You know what? If you don't fall into line, Morristown Church of Christ, you're going to lose your tax exemption. If you don't allow this, if you don't allow that, you know what? It's time for our churches to stand up and say, we don't care about our tax exemption. We'd rather lose our tax exemption any day as to lose our space in heaven. We're in trouble. And the only hope is the word. And Paul says, to Timothy, Paul says, you have lived it. Paul says, but remember, while you live in it, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. But then Paul tells Timothy something else, which I think serves as a reminder for us. Paul says, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have received them, verse 14. He says that from a childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says, all scripture is inspired by our constitution. All scripture is inspired by the Constitution of the United States. And therefore, it's profitable for a few things. Changing as the time changes. Somebody says, now, Brother High, what version of the Bible are you reading from? Well, I'm reading from the New American Bible, the New United States Bible. Paul reminds Timothy here. Paul says, all scripture is inspired by what? Who, church? God. And church, listen, it's profitable for teaching. Do our nation, do they need to be taught? We've gotten what they need. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for training in righteousness that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. What's Paul reminding Timothy of? Paul's reminding Timothy, don't forget who it came from in the first place. Don't forget who backs the word. God backs the word. And it's profitable for everything. Many, many times I believe we become discouraged. Many, many times we lose faith in this. We need to try something else. The same thing that turned Rome upside down will turn Morristown upside down today if it's taken out there. It's the word. Why? Because it's God working. It's God working. Blaine, if you don't mind, find from Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And it's just a reminder of Paul once again, reminding the people there in Rome. And what does he say in Romans chapter 1, verse 8 and 9? Read.
Without
Listen as Paul, writes to people. As Paul writes to the people in Rome, Paul never presents himself first. Okay. Paul always tugs the people back to where it really matters. He always takes them back to talking about what is important in life. God's there. He remembers them. He remembers to take them before God Almighty. Why? Because that's where the answer is. Then Paul also says something like, and most of you can quote this, Paul says something like, I am not ashamed of the what? The gospel. He says, for in it is the power of, it's the power of God to save. Our nation's in trouble. Paul says here, Timothy said, you have lived the word. Paul says here, you're going to suffer for living the word. Paul says here, but don't stop living the word because God approves the word. And finally, the lesson's yours this morning. As we skip over into chapter 4, Paul says this. Timothy, I don't care where you are. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearance and his kingdom. And what does he tell him to do? Three words. What does he tell him to do? Preach the word. Timothy, you've lived the word. Marstown, you've lived the word. Timothy, you're going to suffer for living the word. Marstown, you're going to suffer for living the word. Timothy, don't forget where the word came from. Marstown, don't forget where the word came from. When the rubber meets the road, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, preach the word. But Brother Paul, how about when it's not popular? Preach the word. How about when it's not in season, Paul? Preach the word. How about when people ridicule me? Preach the word. It's the only hope that our nation has. And church, it's the only hope that we have. I'll close this morning like I started. And that's simply by saying, our nation's in trouble. But I'll close this morning by encouraging you and encouraging me. We have the answer. It's God's power. In the Greek, it's God's we get our English word dynamite. It's God's dynamite. It's the only thing that can perform the surgery that we need. Let's be people of the word. In Acts chapter 4, the church was being persecuted. They were being persecuted. They were going into their houses. They were bringing people out. They were persecuting God's people. And we find something special even in time of persecution. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. They went everywhere preaching the word. Maybe there's someone in this audience this morning that you haven't obeyed the word. Well, you're not going to preach it right until you obey it. If we have someone in this audience this morning that you need to come believing that he is, repenting of your sins, making the sweet confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, being buried with him in the watery grave of baptism. You can do that this morning. That's God's plan. That's sticking to the word. We're here to help you. We might have someone this morning that, as you reflect back upon this past week, you have not lived the word. There's a word that's called repentance. Maybe you need to repent just where you are, or maybe you need to respond this morning. Maybe you need to respond this morning and say, I need your help. Maybe you need to respond this morning and say, I have not lived right. Maybe you need to respond this morning and say, I have not been the example. Maybe you need to respond this morning and say, I have brought reproach upon the church because I haven't been about the word. Our nation's in trouble. We have the answer. We have the answer. What are you doing this morning with the answer in your life? If you need to come to Jesus this morning, if you need to respond to an invitation this morning, if you need to live the word this morning, let's be delivered of the word. If you need to come to Jesus, if you need to respond, we invite you to do so as together we stand and sing to encourage you this morning.